The day is beginning again. You are awake before you need to be, and that is not accident. That is the shape your life has taken, the one you built when no one was watching, when there was no applause for the 5:30 alarm, no medal for the days you showed up tired and still opened the document. You are here. The world outside is still dark, or just beginning to gather light. The house is quiet. Somewhere your children are asleep in beds you provided. Your wife is breathing in the next room. Your father is upstairs, carrying his own decades. All of this continues because you continue. Today is the 18th of May, 2026. It is a Sunday, but the work does not pause for weekends anymore. Not because you are driven by something outside yourself, but because the work has become the thing you choose when you have choice. That is worth noticing. You are not running from anything. You are walking towards something you can see clearly now. Let the day arrive slowly. There is no emergency. You are building something that outlasts you. This is not ambition in the old sense. It is not the hunger that kept you awake 5 years ago, wondering if you would make it. You made it. You are past survival now. What you are building is not a monument. It is not your name on something. It is the slow accumulation of work that changes the shape of a field you care about, that opens a door for someone 10 years from now, who will never know your name, but will walk through anyway. The buildings you design do not shout. They stand. That is the inheritance. Your body carries your work into your 80s. This is the sentence you would have skipped over at 30. Now it is the hinge. Every morning in the park, every walk where your legs take the weight without complaint, every night you sleep through and wake clear-headed, these are not interruptions of the work. These are the work. The body is not the vehicle. The body is the first project. You are treating it now with the seriousness you once reserved for deadlines and client approvals. 80 is not abstract. It is 34 years from now. Your daughter will be in her 40s. Your son will be raising his own children, maybe. You will be the elder in the room. And the question is not whether you arrive there. It is how you arrive, with what capacity, with what presence. You are building that capacity now, in the boring discipline of enough sleep, enough walking, enough silence. You move toward what you want with patience and force. Both words matter. Patience without force is waiting for permission. Force without patience is the burnout you already know too well. You have learned to hold both. You do not rush the things that require years. You do not delay the things that require today. The 10-year arc to August 2037 is not a countdown. You are laying stones. Some days the stone is a single paragraph in a document no one will see for 18 months. Some days the stone is showing up to a meeting where your presence changes what is possible. You do not always see the cathedral while you're placing the stones. That is fine. You have seen enough now to trust the trajectory. The discipline of small days compounds into the life you want. No one is watching the small days. No one applauds the morning you open the file and write 200 words before breakfast. No one sees the evening you close the laptop at 7 instead of 9, because you know now that the extra 2 hours cost more than they yield. No one tracks the week you eat meals with your father 4 times instead of twice. But you are watching, and the life you are living now is the sum of 10,000 small days that came before this one. The systems you built in 2021 still earn. The body you maintained in 2023 still wakes without pain. The relationships you tended in 2024 still hold weight when you need them. You are not waiting for the big break. You are building a life where the big break is not required. You trust your judgment more than the noise. The noise is louder than it used to be. Everyone has a framework now. Everyone has a method. Everyone is optimizing for a North Star that looks nothing like yours. And you have learned, slowly, expensively, that the loudest voice in the room is almost never the one you should follow. Your judgment is built on scar tissue and survived mistakes. You have been wrong enough times to know what your wrong looks like. You have been right enough times to know what your right feels like. That felt sense is not arrogance. It is pattern recognition earned in the field. When the room is shouting, you can step outside. You do not need consensus to begin. You have already done the hardest part, choosing. This one lands differently now than it would have 3 years ago. Choosing is not dramatic. It does not come with a moment of clarity and a soundtrack. Choosing is the slow winnowing of what you will not do, so that what remains has room to breathe. You chose architecture over the safer path. You chose depth over breadth. You chose the long build over the quick exit. These were not single moments. These were 100 small refusals. Refusals to chase the trending thing. Refusals to say yes when your body said no. refusals to pretend the work was easy when it was not. The choosing continues, but you are not starting from scratch anymore. You are pruning a tree that is already growing. You show up for your family without losing yourself. This is the balance you are still learning. It is not 50-50. Some weeks it is 80-20, and that is fine. Some weeks it is the opposite, and that is fine too. The point is not the ratio. The point is that you are awake inside both rooms. Your daughter does not need you to be perfect. She needs you to be there. Your son does not need you to solve every problem. He needs you to see him. Your wife does not need you to become someone else. She needs you to remain yourself while staying in the room. You are the front row parent. That was the phrase you chose, and you chose it because it is specific. Front row does not mean hovering. It means present. It means you see the thing happening. You do not miss the play because you are checking your phone. You do not miss the question because you are thinking about the next meeting. Presence is the gift. You know this now. Money is a tool. You have made enough money to stop being afraid of it. This is not the same as having all the money you will ever need. It is better than that. It is having enough that money is no longer the question driving the day. The systems you built still earn while you sleep. That sentence used to feel like aspiration. Now it is just Sunday morning. The passive streams exist. The recurring revenue is there. You are past the point where a single missed invoice changes your month. This is not the finish line. This is the platform from which the real work begins. The work you are doing now is not about adding zeros. It is about adding meaning. It is about the contribution that will outlast the bank account. Money is fuel. You have enough fuel. Now you get to choose the destination. You write the next decade with the steadiness of someone who has seen the last one through. The last decade taught you what no degree could. It taught you how to fail in private and recover in public. It taught you how to carry a family while building a practice. It taught you that the discipline of the boring middle is where the real work happens. Not the launch, not the exit, but the 1,000 days in between where no one is watching and the work continues anyway. You have written one decade already. The next one is not a mystery, it is a choice. You are writing it now, in the document open on your screen, in the meeting you take next Tuesday, in the way you show up to the park this morning. August 18th, 2037, is not a deadline. It is a horizon. You do not need to see the whole path. You need to see the next step. You have always been good at that. You do not need anyone's permission to begin. This was harder when you were younger. You kept waiting for someone to tell you that you were ready, that the work was good enough, that you had earned the right to take up space in the room. No one said it. No one was going to say it. You began anyway. You built anyway. You put the work out, and it found the people it was meant for. Not everyone. Not the loudest voices. But the right ones. The ones who saw what you were building and said, yes, let us work together. You do not need permission anymore. You have your own permission. That is the only permission that compounds. You do not need anyone's applause to continue. Applause is nice. Recognition is nice. But you know now that the applause always fades faster than the work. The recognition is not the fuel. The work itself is the fuel. You continue because the work is worth continuing. You continue because stopping would be a betrayal of something deeper than ambition. You continue because you have seen what happens when you stay in the room long enough. The thing you were trying to force starts to arrive on its own. The applause will come and go, the work remains. You are fine with that. Your work is service. Your presence is the gift. Service is not self-sacrifice. Service is alignment. It is building something that solves a problem you actually understand, for people you actually care about, in a way that does not require you to become someone else. The buildings you design serve the people who live in them. The systems you build serve the colleagues who use them. The writing you do serves the reader who finds it 3 years from now, when they need it most. You are not serving everyone. You are serving the ones you are built to serve. That is enough. And your presence in the room with your children, in the meeting with your collaborators, in the evening meal with your father, that is not a secondary thing. That is the primary thing. Presence is not what is left over after the work is done. You are exactly where you need to be to take the next step. Not where you want to be. Not where you imagined you would be at 46. Where you need to be. There is a difference. You needed the detours. You needed the projects that failed. You needed the collaborations that taught you what you do not want. You needed the years when the revenue was uncertain and the future was unclear, because those years taught you how to build without the safety net. You are standing now on ground you earned. The next step is visible. You do not need to see the 10th step. You only need to take the first one. You treat your craft with the seriousness it has earned, You are not a beginner anymore. You have a body of work. You have a reputation. You have proof that the thing you said you would build is the thing you actually built. This is not the time to coast. This is the time to deepen. The next decade is not about doing more of the same. It is about mastery. It is about taking the thing you are already good at and making it excellent. It is about the edge of your current ability, the place where the work is still hard, still uncertain, still worth doing. Your craft has earned your full attention. You are giving it that now, not out of obligation, out of respect. For the meals upstairs with your father, every one is a quiet inheritance. He does not say much, but he is there. You are there. The meal happens. The silence is comfortable now, in a way it was not 10 years ago. You do not need to fill the room with words. You are sitting across from someone who built the house you are living in, who made choices you will never fully understand, who is aging in front of you at a pace you cannot slow. Every meal is a deposit in a bank that does not give receipts. You will not know the value of these evenings until much later, when he is not upstairs anymore, when the house is quieter in a different way. You are not taking them for granted. For your daughter's confidence, which you get to witness every day, she does not ask for permission the way you did. She does not wait to be told she is capable. She simply moves, and you see in her the thing you wish you had seen in yourself, at her age. The belief that the world will make room for her, because she is already making room for herself. This is not something you taught her. This is something you protected. You did not tell her to be smaller. You did not teach her to doubt. You let her confidence grow, and now you get to watch it bloom. She will face the world soon enough. She will learn what compromise feels like, what rejection sounds like, what failure tastes like. But she will not enter that world unarmed. She will enter with the memory of a father who saw her clearly and did not ask her to be different. That is your work. That is the work that outlasts the buildings. For your son's small hands learning to hold things, he is so young still. Everything is new, everything is discovery. You watch him pick up a spoon, a block, a leaf, and you see the entire architecture of learning happening in real time. He is building the motor memory that will let him write, draw, build, hold his own children one day, and you are there. You are the one steadying his hand when it shakes. You are the one watching him figure it out. You are not outsourcing this. You are not in the next room checking your phone. His small hands will grow. They will grow faster than you are ready for. But right now, this morning, they are small, and you are here to see it. For your wife carrying what only she could carry. You do not say this out loud enough. You do not thank her for the invisible load, the thousand decisions she makes that you do not see, the nights she is awake when you are asleep, the days she holds the center while you are building the perimeter. She is not waiting for a speech. She is not keeping score. But the gratitude is real. She made space for you to build what you are building. She held the house together when the house was fragile. She believed in the long arc when the arc was not yet visible. You would not be here without her. That is not romantic language. That is structural fact. For the family home that holds 30 years of your lives. 30 years. That is longer than most people stay anywhere. The walls have absorbed more than you remember. The floors have carried more weight than you can count. The rooms have held joy and grief and boredom, and late nights and early mornings, and every small moment in between. You are not leaving. This is the anchor. This is the base camp. And there is something stabilizing about that. About waking up in the same room you woke up in a decade ago. About walking the same halls your children are walking now. About sitting in the same chair your father sat in when he was your age. The house is not just shelter. It is continuity. It is proof that some things hold. For waking up in a body that still walks under weight, this is not guaranteed. You know people younger than you whose bodies have already said no. You know what it is to carry injury, to feel the warning signs, to push too hard and pay for it later. Your body is still saying yes. It is still walking you to the park in the morning. It is still carrying you through the long days. It is still sleeping through the night when you let it. You are not taking this for granted. You are moving with intention now. You are resting when the rest is needed. You are treating the body not as an obstacle to the work, but as the condition of the work. 80 is 34 years away. You are building the body that gets there. For the morning park, ants, birds, sun, breath. The park does not change. The ants are always working. The birds are always calling. The sun arrives whether you are there to see it or not. and yet every morning it is different. Every morning the light hits differently. Every morning the breath lands in a different place in your chest. You do not go to the park to achieve anything. You go because the walking itself is the point. The breath itself is the point. The 10 minutes of silence before the day begins is the point. No one is tracking this. No one is measuring the ROI of the morning walk, but you know what happens when you skip it. The day feels thinner. The work feels harder. The patience is shorter. The park is not optional. The park is infrastructure. For the legs that carry you without complaint, they have carried you for 46 years. They have walked you through cities you no longer live in. They have stood you in rooms where you had no business standing. They have held you upright on days when standing was the only thing you could do. They are not weak. They are not failing. They are still strong. And you are not waiting until they start to fail before you appreciate them. You are walking them every day. You are stretching them. You are giving them the rest they need and the work they need. You are treating them as the foundation of everything else you are trying to build. For sleep that arrives when you let it, you fought sleep for years. You wore the late nights like a badge. You confused exhaustion with productivity, depletion with dedication. You know better now. Sleep is not the enemy of the work. Sleep is the condition of the work. The mornings you wake clear-headed are the mornings the work flows. The nights you rest deeply are the nights the body repairs what the day depleted. You are letting sleep arrive now. You are not fighting it. You are not scrolling past it. You are lying down and trusting that the body knows what to do, and it does. For the systems you built that still earn while you sleep, this is the privilege of the long build. You spent years building systems that did not pay immediately. You built them because you believed they would compound, and they did. Now there is revenue arriving that is not tied to the hours you work this week. There is money coming in from projects you shipped 2 years ago. There are clients finding you because of work you did in 2023. This is not passive in the lazy sense. This is passive in the structural sense. You built the architecture. And this gives you the freedom to choose what you build next. Not based on what pays this month, but based on what matters over the next 10 years. For the years of practice that made today's work feel effortless. Effortless is the wrong word. The work is not easy, but it is fluid now in a way it was not 5 years ago. You don't have to think about every step. You don't have to question every decision. The patterns are embedded. The instincts are trained. This is what mastery looks like from the inside. It does not feel like victory. It feels like competence. It feels like showing up and knowing what to do next, not because you are a genius, but because you have done this enough times that your hands remember. The practice was boring. The practice was repetitive. The practice was 10,000 hours of showing up when no one was watching. And now the work flows. That is the reward. For colleagues and collaborators whose names you do not always say out loud, you do not work alone. You never have. There are people who made your work possible. The ones who said yes when the project was uncertain. The ones who introduced you to the right person at the right time. The ones who held the door open while you walked through. You do not name them all. You do not track every favor. But the web of collaboration is real. You are standing on the work of dozens of people who believed in you before you believed in yourself. You are trying to be that person now for someone else. You are trying to hold the door open. You are trying to say yes when yes is needed. That is how the work continues. That is how the field grows. For the freedom to choose what you work on. This is the freedom you were chasing 5 years ago, when the chasing was exhausting. You wanted to reach the point where the work was not dictated by necessity, where you could say no to the projects that drained you, where you could say yes to the ones that stretched you. You are there now, not completely, not perfectly, but you are closer than you have ever been. The projects you are choosing now are the ones that matter. The clients you are working with now are the ones you respect. The problems you are solving now are the ones you actually care about. This is not indulgence. This is alignment, and alignment is what makes the long build sustainable. For the quiet of nights when the work is mine alone, there is something sacred about the late hours when the house is asleep and the work is just yours. No one is asking for anything. No one is waiting for a response. The document is open, and the words are coming, and the world has shrunk to the size of the screen in front of you. You do not need these nights every night, but you need them sometimes. You need the reminder that the work is not just obligation. The work is also joy. The work is also the thing you would choose, even if no one was paying you. These nights are rare now. You protect them when they come. For the discipline you have built one day at a time. Discipline is not the enemy of creativity. Discipline is the condition of creativity. You know this now, because you have lived both sides. You have lived the version of yourself that waited for inspiration, that worked in bursts, that burned bright and burned out. And you have lived the version of yourself that shows up whether inspiration arrives or not, that builds the small increments, that trusts the compounding. The second version is slower. The second version is less dramatic. But the second version is here 10 years later, still working, still building, still whole. The discipline is not punishment. The discipline is freedom. For the lessons disguised as setbacks, you failed more than you succeeded in the early years. The projects that did not ship, the pitches that went nowhere, the collaborations that dissolved, the revenue that did not materialize. At the time, they felt like evidence that you were not good enough, not fast enough, not ready. Now they feel like education. Now they feel like the necessary tuition you paid to get to where you are standing. You would not skip them if you could. They taught you what the smooth path never could. They taught you how to recover. They taught you how to keep building when the outcome was uncertain. You are still learning. The setbacks still arrive, but you are not afraid of them anymore. You know they are temporary. You know they are teaching something you do not see yet. For everyone who taught you, knowingly or not, some of them were formal teachers, most of them were not. Most of them were just people doing their work in a way that showed you what was possible. You learned from the architect who took the time to mark up your drawings. You learned from the colleague who modeled what professionalism without ego looks like. You learned from the client who trusted you before you had proof. You learned from your father, who showed you what it means to stay in the room, even when the room is hard. You are teaching now, whether you mean to or not. Someone is watching the way you show up. Someone is learning from the way you hold the work with seriousness and humility. You are not trying to be a model, but you are trying to be awake. That is enough. For the simple fact of waking up again today, this is the foundation. This is the gift underneath every other gift. You are alive. You are awake. You have another day to take the next step. It is easy to forget this when the days blur together, when the work becomes routine, when the extraordinary becomes ordinary. But waking up is not ordinary. Waking up is the condition of everything else. You are here. The people you love are here. The work is still in front of you. That is enough. For Ashmeet, for sitting across the table from my unspoken parts, there are things you do not say out loud until someone creates the space to say them. Ashmeet creates that space. She does not fix you. She does not tell you what to do. She sits across the table and listens to the parts of you that you have not wanted to hear. This is not therapy in the clinical sense. This is witnessing. This is the slow work of integration. This is learning to speak the language of your own interior. You are less fragmented now than you were 2 years ago. You are less at war with yourself. You are learning to hold the contradictions, the part of you that wants to rest, and the part that wants to build, the part that wants to serve, and the part that wants to be seen. Ashmeet is part of why you can hold both. For the deeper mirror, Uma sees differently. Uma sees the patterns under the patterns. She does not rush. She does not simplify. She sits with the complexity and helps you see it too. You do not work with her every week, but when you do, the work goes deeper. The questions land differently. The silence afterward is fuller. She is not trying to make you better. She is trying to help you see yourself more clearly. And seeing clearly is the beginning of everything. For the practices that survived you on the days you almost did not, there were days when you did not want to get out of bed. There were weeks when the work felt meaningless. There were months when you questioned whether the long arc was worth it. The practices held you. The morning walk, the evening journal, the weekly check-in, the monthly review. These were not optional. These were the scaffolding that kept you upright when the structure was shaking. You are not in crisis now, but the practices remain, because you know now that the practices are not for crisis. The practices are for continuity. The practices are the thing that lets you stay in the room when the room is boring. For your breath, which always comes back, you forget to breathe sometimes. You hold it when you are concentrating. You shallow it when you are anxious. You fight it when you are rushing. But the breath always comes back. It does not need your permission. It does not need your attention. It arrives whether you are grateful for it or not. And when you do pay attention, when you sit in the park and let the breath slow, when you lie down at night and let the exhale lengthen, the breath becomes something more than function. It becomes anchor. It becomes reminder. You are alive. You are breathing. Everything else is built on that. You are standing now at the edge of a decade you are writing in real time. August 18, 2037 is not far away. It is not abstract. It is 3,963 days from today. Your daughter will be in her 40s. Your son will be in his 30s. You will be 50, which is not old but not young, which is the age when the work either deepens or dissipates. You are choosing depth, or are choosing mastery over novelty, presence over productivity, meaning over accumulation. You are choosing the long build over the quick win. This is not dramatic. This is not a pivot. This is a continuation of what you have already been doing, but with more clarity, more intention, more trust in the trajectory. You do not need to see the whole path. You only need to see today. And today is clear. Today you will walk. Today you will work. Today you will sit with your children. Today you will show up. That is the work. That is the only work that matters. The wealth you are building is not just financial. The wealth is temporal. You have time now that you did not have 5 years ago. The wealth is relational. The people in your life are people you chose, not people you are obligated to. The wealth is internal. You are less fractured now, less at war with yourself, less afraid of the silence. Money is part of the picture. Money is fuel, but money is not the measure. The measure is whether the life you are living is the life you would choose if you could choose again. And it is, not perfectly, not without friction, but yes, this is the life. You are building the practice that will sustain you into your 80s. You are building the body that will carry the work. You are building the relationships that will outlast the projects. You are building the craft that will matter long after the revenue stops. This is the work. This is the only work. The sun is higher now. The city is waking. Your children will be awake soon. The day will arrive with its questions and demands and opportunities. You will meet it. But first, this moment. First, the breath. First, the remembering. You are exactly where you need to be. You are building what you said you would build. You are not done, but you are not lost. Take the next step. The next step is always visible. The day is here.